The following is a recording from Maria Verona from iAdvise on Monday, May 4th, 2015 at 10 a.m. Central. Megacable, first quarter 2015. Hello everyone and welcome to the Megacable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. For opening introductions, I'll now turn the call over to Maria Verona of iAdvise Corporate Communications.
Good morning and welcome to Megacable's first quarter 2015 conference call. Thank you very much for participating today. At this time, allow me to introduce from Megacable Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, CEO, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Cepet, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. The gentlemen will be taking your questions following the discussion of the results. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results, and these are subject to different conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you refer to the quarterly release that was issued last week. If you did not receive the information and would like to be added to the mailing list for Megacable's information, please contact iAdvise Corporate Communications at 212-406-3695. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni for his presentation. Please go ahead, Mr. Yamuni.
Thank you, Maria, and thank you all for your participation here today. I'm happy to review with you the company's results for the first quarter of 2015. It's always exciting to begin a new year, especially during times like these in which the telecommunication industry is changing. Overall, Megacable posted another solid operation performance in the first quarter. The company continues delivering excellent results to our shareholders. Megacable demonstrates that it's one of the strongest players in the market, growing above the industry average in the first quarter. In terms of video, we experienced a strong growth of net adds with a 4% growth in the quarter, adding around 85,000 subscribers and 310,000 year-over-year with 14% growth. But Internet continues to be our strongest product with a significant increase in the period, reaching more than 123,000 new ads in the quarter and 422,000 year-over-year. This represents a 9% for the quarter and 41% for the last 12 months. Finally, in telephony, we have continued to grow at a rate above the market trend and added 39,000 net adds in the quarter and 146,000 subscribers year over year, a growth of 5% and 24% respectively to continue increasing our share in a very mature market. We are very excited about the potential of the business. We are confident that Megacable has the best product to offer. ARPU for the unique subscriber increased from 390 pesos and 80 cents in the first quarter of 14 to 421 pesos in the first quarter of 15, an increase of 8% year over year due to the greater number of revenue generating units from 1.65 to 1.75 per subscriber. In the financial side, Megacable's consolidated service revenues rose 24%, reaching 3.3 billion pesos due to the addition of approximately 877,000 RGUs when compared to the first quarter of 2014, an outstanding growth of 23% in the subscriber base year over year. Due to the increased sales of bundled services, our cable operations delivered a remarkable 48% margin, reaching 1,392 million pesos, and our consolidated operation reached an EBITDA of 1,464 million pesos at 43.8% EBITDA margin, increasing 23% year over year, reaching one of the highest margins in the industry by controlling costs and expenses of the company. In terms of corporate, we saw important increases in the revenues generated by our unit MetroCarrier, MCM, and OLA, saw increases of 32, 26, and 52% respectively. Megacable continues to focus on expanding the network by building new kilometers as well as renewing and enhancing current kilometers, which has enabled Megacable to provide newer and better services to a larger audience. With this, in addition to the broadband upgrade, Megacable has been able to offer advanced, interactive, high-definition OTT and video-on-demand services to a larger range of customers than ever before. Megacable continues to deliver strong figures quarter over quarter, along with reinforcing our commitment to be the best pay TV and telecommunications options available in our market. Finally, I am pleased to announce that at the General Ordinary Shareholders Meeting, by recommendation of the Board of Directors, approved a dividend payment. The amount will be 980 million pesos, that represents 20% of the 214 EBITDA, higher than it was stipulated in our dividend policy. The payment will be made in one installment in May of 2015. At this point, this concludes my comments, and Raimundo will continue with the conference.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I will briefly explain the reasons behind our great performance achieved during the quarter. Megacable's RGU and subscriber growth in every one of its services was driven by increased sales volume as a result of the efficiencies directed towards our sales force, as well as a result of improved subscriber retention in the video and internet segment compared to previous years. Moreover, we added more than 80,000 digital boxes, increasing revenue through providing additional services and promoting the loyalty of our customers by offering high-quality products. Our success is attributable not only to the result of our digitalization process, but also to the quality, price, and bundling strategy of our internet and telephony services, making our service even more attractive to the market. Megacable growth in the internet segment was driven by a solid operation and growing network via our DOCSIS 3.0 technology, which has proven to be the most efficient way to support the growth of the company. Also, the important growth in telephony was driven by our aggressive bundling campaign. Even so, we saw some customers rotating at the beginning of the campaign due to its aggressive nature of it. Growth in Megacable's corporate segment continued to increase at a fast pace. In particular, MCM and NetoCable registered outstanding growth rates during the quarter. On the other side, Ola had a seasonal decline driven by the depreciation of the peso, which made customers postpone, not to cancel, their updating of technology projects. EGTV, our company that produces and commercializes programming for other TV programmers, continued steady in its operations. Enterprise revenue from during the quarter accounted for 650 million pesos, equal to 19% of total revenue. MetroCable, MTM, Ola, and PCTV also delivered solid growth in our cable operation. Another important initiative carried out by Megacable during this quarter is the reinforcement of our network nationwide to provide a better service within our market segment. Lastly, the company has been focusing and continue to work on cloud solutions to strengthen its extensive product portfolio. Thank you for your attention. Luis will now continue with the financial highlights. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Raimundo. In terms of the company financial results, as you could see in the quarterly report that was issued last week, revenue growth accelerated and rose 23.8% in the first quarter to reach 3.3 billion pesos versus 2.7 billion reported in 2014. Revenue coming from PCTV accounted for 5 points, but the largest piece came from the cable operation by the company's effective commercial and marketing strategies, as well as the great demand of a broadband product. Cost of services increased 31% compared to first quarter 14. Mainly due to the PCTV consolidation, which added 11 points to the equation. Operation and general expenses increasing 18%, mainly again to PCTV, which contributed with 4 points in this line. The rest of the growth are very well in line with increase of operation and subscribers. Consolidated EBITDA grew 23% in the first quarter of 2015 compared to the same period in 2014, reaching 1,464 million pesos for an EBITDA margin of 43.8, while adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 21% in the same period to total 1,392 pesos, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 47.9%. Net income in first quarter 2015 totaled 775 million pesos, 33% growth compared to the same period 2014, mainly due to great results delivered by operations and the reduction on deferred taxes and D&A. Regarding assets, cash and temporary investments, this increased 1,154 million pesos, or 37% in the last 12 months, showing Metacable's outstanding ability to generate cash flow. At first quarter 15, we have a negative net debt. Our net cash position is at 1.3 million billion pesos. Thus, the consolidated net debt to EBITDA ratio reached minus 0.22 times. We also reached 47.31 times EBITDA to interest coverage at the end of this period. Properties, system and equipment net increased 16% or 2,035 million pesos, mainly due to the purchase of steel set boxes, digitalization projects, the construction of new kilometers of network, the acquisition of equipment, and the recognition of the PCTV asset, among others. Lastly, during the fifth quarter, Megacable invested 762 million pesos. This investment was mainly allocated towards the purchase of terminal subscriber equipment, growth and modernization of the cable network, and the purchase of other fixed assets. Thank you so much for your attention. Without any further delay, let us move on to questions and answer session. Operator, may we proceed, please?
Certainly. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We will pause momentarily to compile a list of questioners. And our first question comes from Ander Baggio from J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. So you had a great results, especially in the broadband segment. Is there any reason to believe that the next quarters will be different? Because I think it's probably there will be enough demand for your products.
On the broadband segment, we believe the trend will be the same. We think that broadband is growing at the same pace that it was growing in last quarter last year. So we don't see any difference going into the rest of the year.
Okay, thank you. And the second question is that you still have a substantial amount of cash. In the past, I understood that there was a possible use of for M&A, but now M&A seems distant. What do you think it could be the use for the cash?
Well, we're still looking at options. It's too soon to answer that question. We have some options. We can't disclose them at this moment. But on the other side, if we cannot have a use for organic growth or acquisitions, we will look. I mean, the board will obviously analyze what to do with it. But currently, we are analyzing inorganic options of growth.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ambrise Sala from Credit Suisse.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, guys. Thank you for the call. I wanted to ask you about the margin in cable. Of course, you had a very strong margin during the quarter. and it was increasing from what we had, from what you had last year in cable operations as well. So I just wanted to check if, you know, we should be thinking that margins will be having yearly increases of a similar magnitude for the rest of the year. What do you think there, or is there, you know, any just making sure there's no one-off there or something?
We think that this is still a great quarter with great results. We don't want to be aggressive and think that we will maintain this extraordinary margin. We think we want to be conservative and still think that it's not going to be as good as it was in this quarter, but not lower than cable operations, not lower than the 45% that we have estimated.
Okay. Okay, thanks. And then on a second question, we also noticed that the churn in telephony was increasing during the quarter. Could you provide some more color on what's going on there and what you're trying to do to mitigate that? Thank you.
Are you talking about the churn during the quarter? The churn,
yes.
Well, normally we have a very aggressive campaign in the beginning of the year. We believe that the churn is in the best in best historic level for video and internet and broadband. We have a high churn in telephony, but that's let's call it control, because the way we commercialize telephony, bundling with all the broadband subscribers that we have, is the root and the cause of that high churn. We started doing this 18 months ago or 12 months ago, and we found that the best way to penetrate and take the triple play and the bundle package was to be aggressive and to put it inside the house. This does not represent any more sales and capex for the company. So it's just a matter of getting the subscribers to try the product. And of course, some of them don't need the product. And that's the reason for the churn. But you can expect those levels of churn to remain properly for the rest of the year, you know, with a high churn in telephony due to the campaign and a very conservative churn in terms of video and broadband due to the high quality of the service that we have.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Andre.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos de Legarreta from GBM.
Thank you. Good morning. My question regards DNA. I believe the second quarter that we've seen a negative trend in annual terms. I don't know if you can comment on this and what are your expectations going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Basically, on the amortization side, we finished, completed an amortization of some of the acquisitions we made 5 years ago for the subscriber data. When we acquired the company, we also paid for that price, but it has to be, you know, amortized in a period of time. So we have completed for the acquisitions we made 5 years ago, and that's the reason why it went down a little bit.
Okay, but it shouldn't be within this pattern going forward then.
It will be about the same that we had in this quarter. It's going to be a run rate for the future.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you. And if I may, as a follow-up, you recently announced a deployment of fiber to the home in Guanajuato. I don't know if you can comment. This is a pilot project. Do you expect to expand it throughout your coverage? And that will be nice. Thank you.
Yes, we announced, Brady, actually we did a full fiber to the home deployment in a greenfield. This was the city of Guanajuato in the state of Spain. We did this for several purposes. One is because we want to be prepared and know the technology for future uses that we might have. Also because it makes sense to use that technology in full greenfield areas where we don't have cable. But as I said in my comments before, we are committed to the DOCSIS 3.0 platform
because that's the one that makes the more economic and economic sense, and also product advantage for the subscribers as of the near future. As you know, the CapEx, even forward CapEx increased compared to first quarter 2014. We have a low quarter last year, and this year we're above expectation, and we're preparing ourselves for all the growth that we're having in broadband and digitalization that we have. So that's the reason of the CapEx, and all that CapEx is coming to the Office 3.0 because that's the one that makes more sense to continue to do business the way we do. We are now ready to do fiber to the home in those systems that make economic sense for the company and for the market if we need it. That's what we did.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andres Cuello from Scotiabank.
Yes, thank you guys for taking my question. Recently, Televisa, of course, got Grupo EVI, and I understand that they are providing service in Zapopan. So I was just wondering if you are competing directly with Televisa on the cable front. Of course, you compete with Televisa, would you compete with Sky? But I was wondering if you are competing with Televisa's cable companies in Zapopan or elsewhere after the acquisition of Grupo EVI.
Yes, Andres, we are competing with Televisa in two markets, not in Zapopan. We're competing with Cablecom, that's in the city of Querétaro, Zacatecas. That's where we have. And we've been competing for now quite some years on that part, 3 to 4 years or 5 years, I don't remember, in that area. As of today, we're not competing in Zapopan. We don't know what they are doing about that. We're doing our networks and system and growing the way you see, and reviewing all our possibilities to grow. You know. We haven't decided where are we going to grow and how are we going to do it. As of today, but yet we know how those cable commerce services compete and work fairly friendly competitive, let's call it that way. You know, we know each other.
No, I wouldn't say friendly. I would say that it's the competition we have with them is fierce. I mean, we go after the market, both of us. And in those cities, we the cable companies share most of the market. The penetration of satellite companies is lower, but it's a market where we don't think we do as good business. Both companies. I mean, we have a lot of since the competition is so fierce in those markets. We are the position we have both is very much equal in market share, and that demonstrates why the building of telecommunications network it's complicated. Especially when you have a lot of players in the same market.
All right, but specifically in the case of Zapopan, you are not competing with Televisa because you don't have a network in Zapopan, right?
No, we don't have in Zapopan, and they either have any network in our service area.
Okay, perfect. And one last question. I was wondering if you're exploring expanding to other countries, perhaps to South America, perhaps Chile and Argentina. If you are considering options outside of Mexico, or if you intend to remain focused here in Mexico?
As a first option, we are focused in Mexico.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question. Again, if you would like to make a question, please press *1 at this time. And our next question comes from Vera Rossi from Goldman Sachs.
Thank you.
My first question is about your corporate and other revenues. Can you talk about what level of revenues we should expect for the next quarters on this line, and what are the main drivers we should consider when we forecast this line? And the second question is about your costs of services and operating and G&A expenses. What are the cost lines that you were able to reduce this quarter to present these good margins? And what is the tax rate are you using for your programming costs? Thank you.
Yeah, Verna, in terms of cost, corporate drivers, you can expect the segment pretty much in the same level of growth that we have right now, coming from all the different business units that we have. We think we're doing a much more better job on that part in each of those four different units. That part.
If I may say, we expect an average of revenues in the same around the same numbers that we saw in this quarter for the following three quarters, at least during 2015.
And what are the drivers for this growth or this level of revenues? Or what are the what are you selling to your customers to maintain this level of growth or of not growth of revenue?
All right. So let's see. Basically, MCM is steadily growing at the same pace quarter to quarter, and it's been showing steady numbers. On the PCTV, the acquisition, we expect the numbers to be around the same of this quarter, so we don't see any increase. So that's basically why it's steady. In Ola, we have an increase that came in this quarter, mainly due to the contract that we got with CFE. The total contract is around $120 million, and that's something that you're going to be looking at in the following quarter. So it's going to be about six quarters, the duration of this contract. So just divide it, and you will see that's the number you're going to get in Ola. That's why Ola grew a little bit on during this quarter. And on Metro Carrier, well, this is basically the same number that it's been. Of course, it's growing at 32% compared to last year, but this is going to be the trend that you will see on the following quarter. So it's the adoption, again, of our products. Internet is the main driver in the corporate segment as well. So we think that this is going to show the muscle on the business side on the following year.
Can we move to my second question on OPEX and costs and expenses?
Sure. In terms of the OPEX, operating expenses, basically we are growing at the same pace that our income, or a little bit lower, and that's coming from savings and economies of scale. It's coming also from some very usage of our capacity, and saving again on internet, I mean on telephony. You know that we got some reduction on interconnection costs, so that gives us a little bit of savings. And on programming, right? That was the second part of your second question. And
correct.
Basically, the programming costs are growing again with the depreciation of the foreign exchange, I mean the peso, it's been depreciated. But as we have some contracts that are not dollar-based, or even on those dollar base, there are some contracts that we have a cap, and we negotiated the difference among, 50-50. So they take half of the impact, and we take the other half. So that's also what gave us a little bit advantage on the SG&A.
What was the effect that was used in the first quarter of the year for this contract?
Basically, it's not that we have a foreign exchange rate that quarter is per contract. and we charge the difference. But basically, the exchange rate that is really put on the contract dates back to a year ago, and it is really much lower than the number that we have today. So basically, we're sharing half of the depreciation with our programmers.
Okay.
So instead of 12% depreciation, that's been the peso depreciated, we are really getting impacted by 6%. So that's helping us a little bit.
Okay. So and when this contract expires, that you go to the current level of the FX, that's 15.5.
Yes, these contracts are not made in one day, so they have different due dates, and so some will maybe end this year, and some will continue for the following year. But be sure that we will try to keep a similar clause in the contract to be sure that we can provide, we continue to provide our services and do not impact the price to the subscriber.
Okay. And on the revenues, I have one question on the your customer business. What was the cause for the decline in ARPUs and revenues for the voice services? Was this business impacted by the reduction in long-distance services as well?
Yes, you got the answer. Basically, the reduction in the ARPU came mainly on the long-distance revenue, because we are not charging for local, domestic long-distance, as you know, and a little bit on packaging, because the ARPUs across the line in video and internet and telephony were impacted by 1 or 2 points, basically, on the bundling of our products. So, you know, it's not the same acquiring one product or acquiring two or the triple pack. We are giving some discounts, and that's what's really impacting our ARPUs. So the tariffs are remaining the same, or even in some areas where we have identified that the price it's been down for years, and without no reason, maybe we increase a little bit, 1 or 2%. So basically, that's the equation, the complete equation of our results.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva from Merrill Lynch.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. My question is related to CapEx. CapEx during the first quarter was quite strong, particularly for a first quarter. I was wondering if you could give us more color on why was that, and if your guidance of somewhere between $195 and $200 million is still in place. Thank you.
Sure, Rodrigo. Thanks for your question. And what really happened is, as you mentioned, last year, for example, first quarter CapEx was really low. And in this case, we stick to our guidance of around $200 million. And this first quarter, what happened is that we really invested in subscriber equipment, mainly on the internet side, because to really support the growth and keep the trend that we have seen since the third quarter of last year, we have made all the arrangements to be ready for the growth and do not stop it. So that's what you see there, basically the growth on investment in subscriber equipment. But we still see the same target for the year. But believe me, if the trend goes above what we're doing, maybe we will exceed a little bit, but just we want to be conservative for now.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Thank you very much. And another question would be, is there any target for Mega regarding the amount of homes passed in Mexico? Is there any number in which you don't think there would be or it wouldn't make economic sense to keep passing homes?
Not really. I mean, it's a matter of the growth of the cities where we operate. You know, we operate in regions of high economic growth like Guanajuato, Querétaro, Jalisco, even Sonora is growing at a rapid pace. So we don't think that, our policy is to serve as many homes as we can in our service areas. We think we can grow at the same pace in number of kilometers for years to come. I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years to come. And we don't have any limit there for our policy. It's to serve as many homes as it makes sense in our service area. We think that still the number of inheritance per home in Mexico is rather high. It's 4.3 people per home in countries like in developed countries. The number is 2.3. So we still have a lot of room to grow there, and I think that's another effect that we will start seeing in a couple of years here. The reduction of the number of inhabitants homes that will reflect in more homes.
Got it. Thank you very much, Enrique.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Homero Ruiz from Signum.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Could you comment on the results of Megacable Play services, and mainly how do you perceive the demand of the product?
Yes, we launched Megacable Play as a bundle long time in a family and friends. What we're doing right now is we have much more robust product that was launched. It's not impacted in the quarter yet on the results. We have a large base of subscribers that are trying the product and are on a test basis on that. Right now we have 200,000 Megacable Play subscribers from that part, which is not bad. But as I said, we're giving that to the subscribers for them to try the product and to see it. So far, the reception is very well from them, and we expect them to keep it. But right now, it's not impacting the numbers that you have in the revenue by far, because it's packaged to subscribers.
Okay, and this is offered to digital subscribers only?
That's offered to digital subscribers, yes.
Okay. One last question, if I may. Could you comment us if there is any news on the quadruple play offering?
You're talking about the MVNO, the quadruple play? Well, we keep conversation with different players. We have that on review to see whether it makes sense. Well, it does not make sense so far. We are not really, really excited about the MVNO at this point until we see that the economics makes sense for our subscribers and for the company numbers to be launched. We cannot tell you more because we are on that process right now with different offers that we have, and with the conversation with two or three of them. So far, we haven't made any decisions as of today.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Omar.
Thank you. We now have a follow-up question from Carlos de Legarreta from GBM.
Thank you. Just very briefly, I just want to be clear if you are currently benefiting in any way from the local loop unbundling of Telmex's network, or do you expect to do that at some point? Thank you.
From the local hub? From the local loop from Telmex. Look, no, not yet.
No, we don't expect to do that. We don't expect to use the local loop from Telmex, at least not in the service areas where we operate currently. Maybe in the future in the local areas where we don't operate, but not for residential use. Maybe for other like Mexico Conectado, or enterprise or corporate services, but not in the areas where we operate, and not in certainly not for residential use.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phones now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We now have a question from Adish Beroi from Tiger Veda.
Yes, hello. It's Manish Chopra. I understand that you will use the balance sheet when and if you find an opportunity and do the right thing with it. I also see that you have not had any net debt over the last 8 years. So I wondered, given the progress of the business over the last 8 years, and the outlook for the business, what you may think eventually is the right capital structure on the balance sheet side.
Right. Well, we think that in case we find a target or acquisition that makes sense for the business, we will be comfortable a little bit above 2x EBITDA, 2.5. So we will be very comfortable about those levels. We can also go up to 3, but we yeah. have to be comfortable.
In the long run, I mean, it's like 2.5, and we could eventually go to higher numbers in a temporary basis in case we needed to. I mean, the balance sheet can stand significantly higher amount of debt in case we need it.
Great. But I'm comfortable with you utilizing it if and when you see the opportunity, but I just wanted to get a sense, and it sounds like 2x, 2.5x is sort of a normalized leverage level going forward. Is that correct?
Yeah. If we do acquisitions, that would have to include the EBITDA the acquisition would add to the company. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Thanks a lot. That's helpful. And I'm actually not at a place where I have the guidance you may have given in the fourth quarter. Obviously, the first quarter came in much better than we expected, and I'm very happy about that. But I'd wondered if you could comment or update. Any guidance you gave at the end of the fourth quarter, given the positive numbers you've given out in the first quarter for the rest of the year?
We can do that, or we can email that to you, whatever.
Great. Thanks a lot.
We will email it to you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. And at this time, I'm showing no further questions in the queue. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Yamuni for closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being in our call today. We look forward to a very productive year for Mexicali and hope to see you soon in person in case you visit Guadalajara or Mexico City. And I will be glad to be with you in the next conference. And keep announcing good results of Mega Tablet. Thank you to you all, and have a nice week.